Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Nick Stahl, and you're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Cool.
Survivors, welcome to episode 98 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk. I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
Hey.
Hey, it's us.
Brian might join us later. He'll hopefully join us later. And so maybe we can kind of do a little quick catch up with any of his ratings because you can get him in the dock. So with all that, let's just go ahead and get on with the show. So we're going to cover Fear the Walking Dead season 7 episode 15 titled Mina. But first, we have some feedback from our last podcast, Fear the Walking Dead season 7 episode 14 titled Divine Providence. And actually this first one came from Erin from the internet, and she actually had a question after she gave some of her feedback for this week. And she says, she's like, if Charlie dies in the fire because they can't move her, does that count as Alicia killing her? Can we canonize that as a Clark does kill her in the end because she killed Nick? Ha. We need something because the series is so lame right now, especially on how it's handling exit of peoples and the OGs. And I look forward to seeing what you say on this newest episode. Yeah, and then...
And I'm afraid you're not going to get your wish.
Yes. No, and it was like, when she emailed, and then I saw that, and then of course it was like, going already into this week, I'm like, okay, well this just kind of got its question answered, because, although I thought that...
it did.
Charlie hangs on for another day.
Mm-hmm. And I've even got a surprise I have stored up after watching this episode. So,
all right, well, go ahead and take Mike's from last week.
All right, well, we got some feedback from Mike from Asheville, and for Divine Providence, he gives it a 6 out of 10. Donkey Kong must make it to the top floor, and of course, the irony there, Mike, is we did have flaming barrels at one point, so. And he says, just consider all of this feedback. This is why we can't have nice things. They're all fighting over the tower, and now it's on fire, and all those crops are probably burning up. I was trying to think what to write, but then I read all of Glennis's feedback. She touches all the main points, and I second pretty much everything she said. My giant hot sauce is everything to do with Strand. He's all over the place, and like Glennis said, he loves Alicia like a daughter, but he treats her like this. And he finishes up by saying, I'm just ready for the next chapter of this show. Not necessarily about Madison coming back, but at least the group she's with. Let's just move on from the tower.
Yeah, let's just move on from Texas. Galveston is just like, yeah.
Oh, you know, if you said that, you know what happens.
They're going to
Glenn Campbell, you know. Galveston. I just realized you're probably not old enough to remember Glenn Campbell. So.
No, but I've heard of Glenn Campbell. All right, well, with that, let's go on to this week's episode, Fear the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 15, Amina, written by Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, directed by Michael E. Satrazimus. And the description on AFC Plus was, Alicia turns back to save one more person trapped in the fallout. All right, well, let's get into our ratings. I gave it a 5 Texas Y'all shirts, which was Mo Collins, or I guess, you know, or Sarah, must have picked up at the local Bills on her last walkie-talkie battery run. It was funny to seeing that scene that I didn't notice it the first time. And then the next time when I was doing my rewatch, and I was just like, of course she's got some funny little, like, this is the apocalypse, right? You know, like, there should be very limited items of clothing, probably, or whatever.
Of course, all the crappy shirts you'd get at the airport or the truck stop are readily available.
And so it was just funny because, I don't know, it fit her very well.
Yes, it did.
What'd you give this episode?
And I gave it 5 out of 10. Enough with the bird already.
bird is the word.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Don't you know about the bird? Everyone's heard that the bird is the word.
goodness.
Let's just go ahead and let's just beat the wheels off that metaphor while we're at it. Why don't you?
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, all right. Well, that takes us into our listeners' ratings. All right, Dieta from Detroit gave it a 4 out of 10. This show sucks big time. Not disagreeing.
And not to be outdone, Glisten Toronto gives it a 3 out of 10. Little Bird by Annie Lennox.
Ed, I do have to say, though, just before, like, I know that we've always been saying, like, hey, we're treating the show like, you know, like, we, you know, it's not that it's all just like we're going to just shit talk it all the time or whatever. It's like there are some good parts and we enjoy this and that. But to see our listeners drop their ratings, it makes me feel like, okay, yeah, it's like something obviously is not going right with the show, because this seems to be consistent. The consistency of, like, the whole universe is that this is just has not been good, unfortunately.
No.
All right. Well, next is Erin from the internet, and she says, conflicted. There were some decent stuff for Alicia in here, but also that ending did take the numbers down. I'm left between a 2.5 and a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, but that's still a 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ironically, she may have the highest rating of the show.
Thank you, everyone, for your ratings this week. All right. Well, that leads us into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
You want to start?
Sure. Kicking off our listener, awesome sauce, is Dieta from Detroit, who says, nothing was awesome about this episode. Angry face, cussing face.
Yeah. Sorry, Dieta. Stick with us. You know, we do still have part 3 of Walking Dead coming up. Next is Glenn from Toronto, and she says, no awesome sauce. Okay, Alicia did some awesome acting this episode, in spite of her harebrained writing. Yep, I would have to agree with that.
Yep. And Erin from the internet says, almost no Morgan Jones. And then she says, Madison murdering everyone in the preview. Get them, girl. And a smiley face.
All right. Thank you all for your awesome sauce. That leads us into ours. I don't know if you want to go with your, go in your awesome sauce first, or just, I'll just go ahead with mine. Kind of toss it up. I don't know if you want to. If you had anything different than what I've said.
Go ahead.
Okay. I kind of, like, I know last week I, like, literally had, it was like, no awesome sauce, and it was kind of like, all Watson, oh, hell knows, and all this other stuff. But I did like the callbacks, again, to previous seasons. I mean, this was the Alicia, you know, like, basically send-off episode. And whether or not that's what they're trying to do is just like they throw it in there to be like, oh, hey, everybody remember this, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, it's like I did enjoy it since we've been watching the show since the start. But it was like Luciana referring to someone surviving from a bite as being bullshit. And she said something like, I've seen someone tell that exact same lie before. And of course, that was referring to the doctor or whatever, that the leader of the Colonia in season two.
Right.
And then there was the part where Charlie was mentioning that she finally got to see the beach that her and Alicia talked about. And I think it was like in season four, which I have a question about that, though, too, because it's like they're right near the ocean or the Gulf of Mexico. So, like, why did it take her this long to, like, go see the beach? But fine. Like,
yeah,
it was a nice little cute little back and forth between her and Alicia. So it was like, okay, fine. And then, of course, all the flashbacks of Madison from the Amina tapes. And also, like, I thought the flash of the walkers, like, whenever she was, I don't know if it was when she was hallucinating or just they were trying to portray her of, like, basically being afraid of, like, I'm dying and I'm going to turn to a walker.
Yeah.
But those flash of the walkers reminded me so much of the scene of, like, when Rick shot Shane in season two of The Walking Dead. And I actually went back and I was like, oh, yeah. That's like, it was just that treatment of it where it's just like these quick, like, oh, here's all these walkers, you know, it's like blah, 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 you know, like I think they've done it before, probably in like maybe some other episodes, but it was very, very, that was the first thing that popped in my mind was just like that whole, like, I don't know, it's just like, it was scary. And I think even the one that they used for Shane when he was dead and like turning, was much darker and like kind of had more of an impact. But I don't know. I still kind of enjoyed that part of it. So it was like, at least, you know, they're trying to play on to stuff that we've already seen or maybe that might be recognizable. Next was the cool walker effects. And I've been saying this all season where it's like, it seems to be the one thing that they do well compared to the rest of it is, like,
it is.
And it's good because it's kind of like in the main show, the walkers are definitely taking kind of a back seat and it's just kind of like they're just there for window dressing almost. And like, you know, like, or just, you know, they're not like something that to be afraid of anymore. And so they're just, and they're not doing much with them. There's nothing really highlight, you know, like they're not highlighted. I guess that's probably what, you know, a better way to say it. But this, right. Like, when Alicia, when she was first going to the tower with her, the girl, ghost girl, and that walker was coming up or whatever, and she was like, oh, you want me to handle this? And she's like, oh, no, you're not tall enough, so I'll do it. And then, of course, she, like, kind of passes out or whatever. But, I mean, it had, like, this, like, it looked like it walked through, like, a fence, like a chain link fence or, like, a metal fence or something like that. And it was all...
I thought it got blown into a fence because the chain wire was embedded in its face, but if you saw its back was, like, kind of bony and flayed.
Yeah, no, right. And, yeah, and that's... It was, because it was, like, embedded in the front of it, in its face and stuff like that. But again, it's like, oh my gosh, like that part is like really, really cool. And I'm glad that they at least were doing that much because they could have not done any of that. And it just been just a normal walker. But like the attention to that kind of detail, and it's kind of like, ah, where is that with the rest of the show? But it is good to see that because at least the walkers are being treated as something that's not just an afterthought. And
right.
I'm enjoying that a lot for sure.
And see, that was part of what I was going to throw in, and I'll just do it now, is it seems like that no matter how bad the plot sucked and how bad the writing sucked this episode, you know, the practical effects were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. Just the shots, the walkers, and the things they've done makeup-wise with the walkers, and you're going to talk about it in a minute, I think. Yeah. So just the effect they did when Alicia was staring at her arm,
mm-hmm.
how it went from, you know, the solid, rotten, bony, you know, just that whole series of effects with her staring at it. Very much something we haven't seen because we've gotten some body horror as far as people being bitten and being chewed on.
Right.
But we haven't gotten that sort of my brain is going, so I'm having hallucinations kind of thing. And that effect sequence was just so well done and so gruesome. And that is the thing I'll have to rant more about later, is that the practical effect and the Walker effects and the stuff that they did, that game is so strong in this show that I have to give the devil their due. The special effects are so good when it comes to Walkers. Maybe not so much with the sepia tone stuff, and maybe not so much with the, you know, the fog and the other things, but the Walker that was squashed underneath the shopping buggy.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. You know, it's like I said, it's like, well, we can't do anything much plot-wise. We can't really do much with the story, so at least let's give them some decent Walker effects. Which they have.
Yes. Which I wish that carried on to the rest of it. But, yeah, I like you said, it's like we do have to give that its due, because that was cool. That, yeah, that effect of Alicia's arm that she was seeing when she was basically hallucinating, that like, oh, I'm turning into a walker, like seeing herself as a walker. It's like, that was good. That was really, really good. And I just wish that kept carrying on. But,
oh, yeah.
So they at least got that much right. Well, next I did, it's like Alicia using her bullet that she was keeping to kill herself so that she didn't turn. And then she used that instead at the end to kill that walker that, you know, as she went to go head to the tower. There's debate on whether or not that is actually she's alive, or that's just like a hallucination, or like, you know, like what afterwards that. But it's still like, I think the way they're playing this is they left it open-ended as kind of almost the same way as Madison. That it was just like, that way we don't have to, they learn, it's almost kind of like they learn their lesson from season 4 and then Madison, that like they thought that like, oh, she died, and so we did this, and then it was like, oh, but it was apparent, but then we're like, no, we never saw the body, this and that, and they're like, oh, okay, and everybody was, you know, and now they're going to be giving us Madison back.
Right.
To being like, okay, we'll leave it open-ended whether or not Alicia Demon-Carey comes back or not. But it just left it into that vague, we'll leave it to your own interpretation kind of thing.
Well, and I'm going to talk about that later.
Okay.
That's in a later sauce for me.
All right. Well, in the end, it was, since they made a point of that bullet and her ghost girl self, you know, like pointing it out and this and that, that here's her final scene. And then she uses that bullet to basically kill the walker and then keep marching forward. I don't know. I like that. And then last was seeing the tattoo on her amputated arm that she got from her boyfriend or whoever it was back in season 1. Cause like I was thinking, I'm like, I'm not even sure when was the last time that we saw that. I'm sure that we might have seen it, and I would try to go back.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Cause it's like they're always pretty well covered and clothes and all that stuff. But it was the fact that it's like, here we are getting to see her arm, you know, her amputated arm, her putting on her like Wolverine claw, as you like to say it.
Yep.
But then like they could have, I mean, I'm surprised that they even remembered that she had that. But it was nice to see that it's like, oh yes, that was the, you know, tattoo that her, whatever, I forgot his name, but first I think was doing it with a Sharpie or whatever before, you know, this was like episode 1 of season 1, and like was, you know, drawing it on with a Sharpie, but I think later, like then Alicia was like made it permanent. But anyways, it was just, there's one thing where it's like, hey, give me back that nostalgia of like, you know, like we're sending off a character and we're having this like, oh, remember this kind of thing. It's like, I enjoy those moments, because as long as we've been doing this, it's like, you know, we've been here through the whole entire ride. So I have to give it an awesome day. Like, thank you for giving us that. It you know, doesn't, you know, help with everything else, but it's like, I did enjoy seeing that, and I have to give that my awesome.
Well, and I was going to say, if it is indeed her send-off, that is the sort of thing you want to see in a final episode. Mm-hmm. You know, you want some flashbackedness, fond remembrances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at least they got that partially right.
Well, that was all of my awesomes. Did you have any?
That was all I had for the PE.
Okay. All right. Well, then that goes into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. I will take Dieta's from Detroit. And she says, the whole farewell fever dream in and out of consciousness episode, which is pretty much how I watched it, in and out of consciousness. shrug emoji, and then facepalm emoji.
So next we have Glennis from Toronto, who says, Alicia didn't want Strand in the boat in case she turned. What, he can't cope with Alicia as a walker and stab her in the head? This is Strand you're talking about, who kills people on a whim. And then she's going to warn and save the people who come to the tower. But she could turn at any moment, putting those people at serious risk. And some of those people may not be used to killing walkers. Well, he didn't have a tower to throw people off of now. You have to roll her off the boat. So we're not going to see the much anticipated reunion between Alicia and her mom. Just geez. Frowny face.
Yeah, I cannot at all like go against any of that. Oh gosh, it's. I'll just leave that to. I think I have some of my comments later. So
yep.
All right, well, let's go into Aaron from the internet, and she said, "What did Strand take from Alicia exactly for her to say took everything from me? Okay, the tower is gone, but she's part of the reason it's gone." Will, she knew a hot second, but he's hardly everything. And Strand didn't kill Nick or Madison. So, yeah, that line was weak to me.
Yep.
Yep. I can't disagree with that, because that was kind of like a huge, like, issue. Was, like, this whole supposed war, you know, that we never got, you know? And it was like, Strand... just half of his dialogue, it just made near zero sense half the time. And it was like, wait, for one, it's like he was like, they played him off as being like paranoid. So you're like, okay, well, then that leads into like, oh, doing crazy talk or just like being all over the place, to being like, wait, no, he's not crazy, not paranoid. He was just doing this for some reason, because for Alicia. Like, I never quite got it. Like, what he was trying to do for Alicia, but at the same time treating her like complete utter crap. Like,
yeah.
All right. Well, that was all our listeners' weak sauce. So let's go into ours. And I just, again, had to throw this in there because it seems like week after week, we always, or at least I keep coming back to this. And I think you've mentioned it before. It's the ever mask on, mask off. I mean, it's like, how do they know when it's safe and it's not safe? And it was like in the tower, I think, you know, June was saying that like she was warning, it's like, oh, the radiator walkers will burn once they get into the tower. And then that's going to like release radiation and all this stuff. And then I thought, it's like, well, Alicia was in the tower and it looked like there were walkers already in the tower. And so it's kind of like, besides the smoke, you know, isn't there already this, I don't know. It just, and then it's like, is it safe to breathe? And then it's like, they just look at their Geiger counter or whatever it is. And they're just like, okay, it's safe in this one room. But when I was just outside, it wasn't. And so, you know, it just was so inconsistent. And, you know, it had made zero sense anytime. Because at one moment, it's like half the cast has masks on, the other half doesn't, you know, and they're outside. It's like, I thought maybe if it's a sepia tone filter, that means masks. But no, there was sepia tone filter, and it's like everybody had no mask. You know, yeah. Like when they went to go, you know, carry Alicia back to the beach for the third or fifth time. So, yeah, it's just... silly. So we'll leave it at that.
Well, I'm trying to decide whether I want to do my last thing for week or what, and I may save that one for what. But it was the whole thing between what was actually going on and the hallucination. It seemed like that Alicia took a lot of litter rides this time. You know, the conversation she had in the MRAP with, you know, Little Mask Riding Hood, I just was going, okay, she's losing it, because they were doing the who, you know, we didn't see anybody, and she's going, she's right there. So, you know, that whole thing was just, I don't know. Cause it's like, she's okay. She's not okay. She's okay. She's not okay. And she went back from the, we're not doing the heavy eye makeup and the sweaty shirt. And then she was back to looking really bad. And then she didn't look that bad. And then she looked really bad again. Mm. So I don't know. I just was having trouble figuring out, okay, at which point are we hallucinating and which part are we not hallucinating? About the fire at the tower, this is where I have to kind of poke my head up and go, wait a minute here. Looking at the plume of smoke that they kept showing in the distance, that was a, you know, oil rig, you know, call Red Adair kind of fire, just by the amount of smoke and the, you know, what it looked like. And then when they were inside, it was just like a little haze, a little spritz of smoke. And when they were on the roof, I'm sitting here looking, what are they worried about? I don't see any great amount of freaking damage other than all the plants are now burnt and wilted. I'm looking, I'm going, nothing's burning. There's no holes in the roof. It's like, where's all that freaking smoke coming from? Obviously not up here, because they seem to be doing pretty well. And cruising around inside, okay, the lights were flickering, and there was a little haze inside the building. I'm going, something doesn't add up here, kids, because, again, and as much as I love you guys, I've got to say it, you know, to my hose dragon brethren in the red trucks, I've, you know, kept people off your hoses long enough at fires that if you have that much smoke, usually there's a lot more fire. I just kept saying, okay, here's this big, you know, freaking Kuwait on oil field on fire smoke cloud. And when they were in the tower, it didn't look that bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hook up some fans in the windows and blow the smoke out. And douse some more water on the roof, and life is good again. it just didn't add, it did not add up. There was not a one for one correlation there,
right? And all that, and just and saying that, it's like, so the fire started on the roof Alicia poking the canister of gas or water, kerosene or whatever, and it spilled all over the place. Fire got lit. It's burning. And it's like, well, then how does that translate to going down to the bottom floor? And then also, did they not have water that they were bringing up, like we said, from the elevator, the fire brigade people to water the plants? That it's like, you could have knocked that. For one, it wouldn't have gotten down as far as it did, even if it was given a lot of time to burn. It was just like, it was still on the roof, and the roof is like made of concrete, you know, like whatever it's made of. I mean, eventually at some point it would have burned enough to maybe get to the next floor, but not all the way down. So no, it's like, you're right. It's like, it just, it's like they just gave up. They're like, oh no, there's a fire. We can't do anything. So we're just going to just let it burn.
I mean, come on, Kyle. It is the grandest old Walking Dead trope of them all. That it's like something goes bad, so we have to leave it.
Yep.
Is the tower is now bricked and we cannot go back. That, just like you said, since you stole my thunder there, sir, is that what was the tower? The tower was like an office building that had concrete ceiling, concrete floor, that, yeah, maybe it would have burned some of the Bernie bits inside the floor. But as far as the roof goes, the only way the fire would have spread downstairs is if the gasoline had run down one of the ventilators and, you know, somehow got into the air ductwork. And like you said, they had four of those big industrial 250-gallon, you know, jugs in a cage there. And if they're full of water, you just do-si-do over there and hit the dump valve, which is on the bottom of most of those. Or better yet, take your Wolverine hand and and stab the barrel. And there you're going to have 500 gallons of water running all over the floor. You know, and the only thing that would be burned up are maybe your sunshades or your parasol or anything flammable you left on the actual floor. But like you said, it was not a one-for-one correlation. You know, this wasn't a freaking six-story wooden building.
Right.
You know, this is not something that they built out of old telephone poles that were full of creosote. Like I said, it's just the fact that the amount of smoke did not correlate to the amount of fire. Unless, you know, some smart aleck out there wants to say, well, they were storing, you know, those containers on the roof were full of, you know, used motor oil or diesel fuel or something that would be smoky. And I said, even then.
You're right, right.
It just, I got nothing. And the fact that, okay, so after all this, my next thing was, Victor, the consummate survivor, Mr. Always lands on his feet, Mr. Always has a plan, decides at one moment when the tower catches fire that he's just going to drink himself into a stupor and lay there on his futon and get burned to death or die of smoke inhalation. You know, tell me that's not something that's non-character.
Yeah.
Because every other time we've seen Strand get in this some kind of situation, he's always thinking two moves ahead. You know, he's got his truck packed when he was at the stadium. You know, right, he's squirreling supplies. He's willing to, you know, he talked his way out of the lockup in the first season. You know, he had the boat. He had all this other stuff. He always had a plan. He always had a way to scheme his way out of things. And so now he's just going to roll over and die?
Right.
Not very Strand-like, if you ask me.
No, his whole MO was self-preservation. And it always had been that way. That it was like, regardless, yeah, he always had a plan. He always had a backup plan. He always had something that just in case... He could go, and he had no problems leaving everybody to die, close or not, and he was going to move on and keep living. And that was his deal to see, and then see him like this, where he's like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and cry. And it's just like, that is not Strand. That is not Victor Strand. Victor Strand is Victor Strand. This is not Victor Strand. I'll get into it in my oh hell no sauce, but all right, was that all you had for your week?
Yeah, because the last two things I want to, well, okay, I'll go ahead and throw this.
Okay,
I'll go ahead and throw this in. So now everybody is on some sort of rubber boat. They've got all these people who don't necessarily know anything about boats on boats. And they're just sort of in a big cluster like you would go tubing down the river. And I keep thinking, you're near the coast, kids. Unless you get out in the intercoastal waterway, you're going to be out into rough, choppy water. And the first thing that I would have done is tie them all together. You know, get a line so that we're all together and nobody gets separated. But instead, you know, we've got the Lake Havasu spring break boat cluster. And everybody's kind of, you know, paddling in different directions, trying to go somewhere as they all drift away into the mist. And I just keep thinking, you know, probably not the best thought out plan.
No, no, That's too funny. I didn't even really think about that. But yeah, they're just like randomly just, hey, let's just all shove out. And then, yeah, it's like,
we'll all get on boats.
Yeah. And we'll just all just magically head the same direction that Morgan went and we'll meet up with him. And it was funny. Yeah. When you think it's like, and then there was the shots of Morgan, just out in the middle of the water, but it's like, you know, the camera angle is basically pointing straight down at them. So it's kind of like, okay, you're not in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Like worse yet,
it's like, yeah, sail out of the coast, get out in the ocean, get in the Gulf Stream and end up, you know, in Trinidad or something.
You know? Right.
Meanwhile, yeah. You all starve to death and die of thirst because you didn't pack enough stuff.
The shot
of him out in the middle of the water, if they'd have zoomed back a little further, it would have reminded me of one of those survival movies where, you know, they bail out over the ocean and they're in the little rubber boat. Mm. And it's like, no land for miles.
No, and I'm sure, right. And that's the thing. It's like, you're like,
but you look know, at, like, look at it this way. If Morgan's out in the middle of the ocean, nobody can hear Baby Mo.
That is true. So we should,
maybe that's like his foghorn. You know, there's the post-apocalypse Coast Guard that's out on some beach with a pair of binoculars going, hey, do you hear a baby? I think I hear a baby. Way. And they put their binoculars up and go, there it is. There's a ship. Way. I'm sorry. I had to go there.
It's okay. All right. Well, let's get into our what sauce.
What?
And we just had actually one from Erin from the internet, and she said, how did they get dying Charlie out of the fire building for Daniel, quote, to be there for Charlie? Did someone carry her? And if so, how did she survive to the beach? Because wasn't she on a load of mess at the tower to make her passing easier? She's essentially dead. What does taking her to the raft accomplish? Put a bullet in her and call it a day on Charlie. It's sad, but it's where they are with the situation. Taking her to the raft isn't going to save her. And speaking of raft, she's awfully spry getting back in her raft for someone's on death door. Yes. And
I would say, so was Alicia.
Yes. I don't know. She had to survive long enough to sit there and have her little beach comment with Alicia, since this is Alicia's going away episode. She's got all these like rashes and burns and, you know, like should be dead at this point.
Right. Let's pound on that in a minute.
Okay. All right. And then she said,
yep.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the last thing Erin says is all the smoke inhalation. Shouldn't Strand not be dead by the time Alicia found him? Indeed.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it for our listeners. What sauce? So let's go into ours. And I just wrote in here. I was just like, okay. So June said they needed to get away from the tower because once the walkers got in, they would burn. And then that would release radiation or something into the air. But then they spent so much time going back and forth to save Alicia. And it's like they went to go save Alicia the first time. And then the next was like they went to go save her and then go clear the tunnels so that she could get into the building to save her ghost self, kid self. And then it's like, then at the end, they're like, she was like, oh, no, I'm not coming with you now. Even though, like, June was like, oh, like, I guess it was the last time she woke up. It was like, oh, I gave her all these fluids and, like, whatever. You know, like, it kept saying, it's like, no, you need to, like, take it easy. Like, we'll take care of you. But then it's like they just let her get out of the raft and they're just like, okay, sure. It's like, you can stay. And it was like, I think Sarah even said that I think it was the second time they went to go get her and they had her on the stretcher and they were taking her back. But then she's like, oh, no, I'm trying to save the girl. And then that's when they went back to go help her clean the tower, the tunnels of the tower. And I think she even says, like, she was said, like, we'll take you back by force if we have to, you know, to the rafts. Right. Like, she said that, and then they all changed their mind and be like, oh, okay, no, you can't go by yourself back to the tower. We'll go with you. And, you know, it's like, okay, here's the whole kumbaya moment, and we're all going to do teamwork. And it's just like, why are they just letting her wander around? Like, if she's so sick, June, like, you made it this point to say, like, oh, you are deathly ill. We're taking care of you. Don't do this. And then they're just like, oh, Alicia's going to wandering off somewhere. Oh, no big deal. Like, I don't know. I just, it.
They turn their back for a moment and she wanders off.
She's a version of Carl. Running off.
You had one job. You had one job, and that was to keep Alicia on the gurney. And what did you do? You failed.
It just, I don't know. Yeah. It was just like, okay, whatever. It just, yeah. And then my last what sauce was Rabbi Jacob, because I was like, where have you been this whole time? And I guess he was in the last episode whenever they were all out there in the front towards the end, when I guess June like all showed up. I did not catch that. I totally somehow just wasn't probably not paying attention and just didn't catch it on my rewatch. But it's just like, this time he actually had like all this dialogue, and I'm like, where have you been this whole time? Like, you literally, we haven't seen you in like forever, and all of a sudden you just pop back up, and I'm like, you just been sitting in the sub? Like, but like, were you not there? Because I think the last time that we even heard of him was the Althea episode, and she said something like, oh, he's out like fixing up the fence or patrolling or doing something like that. And then he wasn't even in that episode, but he was, you know, just referred to. So I mean, that was like Althea's going away episode, which I don't know, was season or episode 4 or something. Yeah, so it's like,
yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, so I think it's like,
did he find some little apocalypse synagogue out somewhere he's doing services for, or?
I mean maybe he was at running the chapel in the sub or something. But this also makes me think, it's like, okay, we're gonna see more of him now, because it's like they got rid of all the rest of the original characters or like the leads or whatever, and now they need to have some other new people. So
yeah, if you take it by process of elimination, he's still alive.
Yeah, so we'll see him next season, apparently, because they're all gonna be floating the boats, and he'll talk to Madison, and whatever. So it was good to see him, but still it was like like all of a sudden you just pop him right in there.
And I've got to go on a tear, basically, like what you're saying, is that I understand that it was her episode in a way, but it's like, you had Alicia's on a gurney, she's so sick that she can't walk, and then she's gone again. Mm-hmm. It's like every time they get her back, she wanders back off again. And I'm like, okay, how much time are we going to spend chasing her when we should be getting stuff ready to get on our boats?
Right.
And if you're that deathly ill, how are you getting all this spunk to suddenly go wandering off on your lonesome? Because at one minute, it's like, you know, she's flopping around and she's like, I'm dead, I'm dying, I'm bad, I'm not good. And then the next minute, she's off again, you know, charging around doing stuff. And she had some wobbly moments there, but for the most part, it's like, I'm not buying this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Just like at the very end, after she does the, but Victor, I love you, and then does the blook on the beach. And about that. So she's laying on the beach in Texas, in the sun, and when she wakes up, you know, her hair's not nappy anymore, and her hair looks nice, and her dark circles under her eyes are gone, and she takes a drink of water, and she stands right back up, and she's good to go. And I'm thinking, either one of two things, kids. Either this is like the, you know, the, since we saw the bird, since I was griping about the whole bird thing, is you saw the bird as she wandered off into the smoke, And she didn't take her backpack, and she didn't take the rest of her stuff. All she took was her mask, because it was still around her neck. And just riddle me this, Kyle. Being a gentleman who is complected much as I am, I'm afraid that if I passed out on the beach and laid there for an undetermined period of time, when I got up, I would be red as a freaking lobster.
Yes.
I would be sunburnt in a most horrific sort of way. And especially the fact that we are dealing with the broiling sun at the latitude in which the Gulf Coast of Texas is located. That's why I'm thinking, she's dead.
Mm.
You know, after she did that sack of tater flop into the sand after Strand sailed away, I'm thinking, you know, there's no way that she laid on the beach for any long period of time until she suddenly woke up and was resuscitated by all the drugs that June was pumping into her.
Right.
I just was kind of going, I don't know, kids. I'm struggling with this one. And like I said, if it hadn't been for the freaking bird, and the fact that she left all of her crap on the beach when she wandered off, I'm just like, yeah, she's dead.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
And maybe she's not. You know, they wanted to leave it ambiguous, even though, as you have stated previously, you know, all the magazines said, you know, Alicia Dibden Carey's last episode on Fear the Walking Dead, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, ADC leaves the show.
Right.
And at least with Madison, it was vague enough that you could kind of go, well, maybe it's possible, but I doubt it. This has kind of given me the no.
Yeah. That's the thing. It was very hard with Madison's, like, in the sense that it was like, even she even said that was like, I'm dead, like, this is over, that, you know, it's no longer a thing, you know, like, I'm not on the show anymore, right. And it was like over, and like, and yeah, Alicia's kind of done the same thing, but she came her little part, it's like, oh, I had such a great deal, you know, time, really appreciate this and that. But it's like, again, we don't see a body, we don't see a walker, we don't see, you know, we didn't see that with Madison's, you know, we didn't see her burn up and like catch on fire, get eaten.
Right.
So right. It's like, I think the first time they were like, oh, she got written off the show, she's dead. But then because of all the backlash and this and that, and now that they were doing this with like Alicia Dibden Carey, and you know, it's like, now they were like, oh, no, we'll make it vague enough that, okay, she is dead. Or she's not, but we don't know. But yeah, more than likely, she's probably not coming back to the show, because there's like, it's almost kind of like, if she's going to come back to the show, it'll be like more of a flashback, not an actual physical, like, oh, here's they are together. Like, oh my gosh, you know, like we're having a reunion. It'll be in some stupid flashback. It'll be like something that Alicia Dibden Carey can like record in like 5 minutes while she's doing other show.
I don't know. If you take the cynical view and say, okay, they're going to announce sometime this summer that next season is the last season. Because mm-hmm. I really can't see this going on much longer, considering that the main show is kind of wrapping up.
Yeah. No, this has to be the last season coming up.
Yep. Which would be what, eight?
Eight, yep.
That the problem that I have is, if they were going to do something creative and try to bring her back, I think that the ending would have played out a little different. Just that whole wandering off into the smoke in the distance thing.
Yeah.
I just think that was sort of the poetic license of she's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't disagree, because that was definitely done in that way, to being like...
Right. The next thing that I was going to throw in for Watts is... Okay, so she was so worried about her turning, and she used, you know, we saw her use her bullet. I'm still thinking, okay, if she really did flop over on the beach, then, you know, nobody stabbed her in the head, so she's going to be a walker. And if she's not dead and she just wandered off into the mist, I'm kind of going, okay, what do you do now? You know, is she going to go back to the tower and try to put the fire out and move back in? Or is she just going to wander off into the wilderness?
Well, I think her whole thing was that she was going there to either stop people from going to the tower because she, you know, did her message to announce that, like, oh, hey, this is the place, this is the Padre. And then, of course, she passes out and everything catches on fire. And now she's like, oh, no, people might have heard my message. And then they're going to come to the tower. What you think of is like, well, they're going to come up to the tower and see from afar that it's like it's on fire. Like, they're going to be like, okay, maybe I'm not going to go that direction.
Right. They're going to see the big biblical pillar of smoke and go, you know, maybe something bad has happened.
Which would not be very uncommon in this world to be like, oh,
well, very true.
Yeah. It's like that place fell before we got to it. So, okay, we'll move on.
I don't know, dude. I just the whole end of this thing is just kind of making my head hurt.
Yeah. I can't really say that I want her to come back or even like have that thought, because it's just kind of like, next season 8 has to be the end, because there's got to, it can't go on like this.
No.
There's got to be something more to it, because we don't have CRM stuff. You know, we have World Beyond. We have Rick coming back, movies, possibly. You know, it's like, this just kind of was like, you're not moving the story along.
Right. They don't have, you know, they don't have any Virginia people anymore. You know, they don't have any pioneers. They don't have any CRMs. They don't have any Commonwealths. Unless there's some other group somewhere that they're going to just pull out of the bag and introduce to us. I mean, Teddy's people are all gone for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't say anything about it yet, but I'm kind of going, so who's the new guy?
Josiah or something like
Josiah.
That.
And I'm like, to me, and this is just my quick $1.98 take, he's basically taken over Wes's part. And I said, just figure it like this. It's like the writers went, okay, Wes's actor is mad because he doesn't have enough parts. So let's write him into something. And then something else happened and he said, well, heck, I want off the show. So they did this thing, but now we still need another speaking person in the survivors. Mm-hmm. So let's just introduce a new character that came out of the blue, that from nowhere, that we don't know where he came from.
Right.
I mean, that was my only thing. I'm like, okay, so there's a new guy that has a name.
Right.
Generally speaking, you only get a name if you're going to actually do something.
Right, or be there.
If you were just some rando settler, you would just be there and you'd maybe help out and do something, but they wouldn't necessarily give you a name.
Well, no, they gave you a name, and also they gave you a backup from one of the characters, Sarah, saying, oh, no, he's good. He's a good guy, or he's with, like,
right.
She basically, like, no, he's cool. So it's like, okay,
she vouched for him.
Right.
So it just seems odd to me you're going to introduce a new character in the last 10 minutes of the last episode of the season.
Guess we're going to get in a new person that we'll get to know.
Unless they just are going to squander whatever they did, and he's going to end up dying in a heap somewhere.
Which could totally happen. We've seen it possible. Too often. Right.
All right. That's about all I got, Kyle.
All right. Well, then that takes us into our Oh Hell No sauce.
Oh, hell no.
All right. Well, we got one from Erin from the internet, and she says her Oh Hell No sauce is that Alicia ending. I loved her and Strand's content, but I'm personally very conflicted over the open-endedness of the exit and can only leave it in this section because of that. On the one hand, she's out in the world and alive, I guess. Who knows, though, because she got the good make so she could just as easily be dead, and this is another vision of her, and so she could come back if Alicia Denham Carey wanted to go that route. But I wouldn't bet on that unless they promised the series end would be Alicia reuniting with Madison, so I'm taking it as they may never meet again, and that's sad. On the other hand, again, the ending is kind of ambiguous as to did she die on that beach, or whether ghost Alicia now or not, and that would suck to have her death off screen, essentially. I kind of wish we had a clear answer on her exit, dead or alive, because Limbo, after all of this, feels weak.
Yes, it does.
Yep. We just kind of talked about that. All right. Well, that was all the old hell no sauces that we got for this week. So let's get into ours. And really, I just the whole season in general was just all over the place. And the problem that I was like having was just like, I don't really understand why they did all the things that they did. Because I feel like there were so many other better stories that they could tell that they could have still came to the same conclusion or like point with Alicia Sindoff, but have did it in a much better way. And it's almost kind of like, you know, I'm not a writer. I'm not a, you know, like I'm just a fan. I like to watch lots of TV and this and that. And it's just like, they could have easily came up with a better, longer arc that wouldn't have been so conflated and just confusing and just random. And so I don't understand what they're doing. I don't know if it's like they were like are they doing a reset now that Kim Dickens is back? But it's like with how fans are reacting to the season and as well as our listeners, I can't believe for a second that these actors really think that this is good television. That like this, like they're almost like everybody wants off the show and the showrunners are just like, oh, okay, well, we got Kim Dickens back, but now they're basically not giving the reunion that the fans demanded, if not were expecting that wanted.
Yep.
They're just like, okay, we're just cutting it off here. And then we're basically replacing a Clark with a Clark and being like, okay, here, you guys keep watching. It's like, that's kind of where I'm at with all of this. It's like, I tried to really be like, oh, no, maybe they've got some bigger thing that's like we're just not seeing it yet because maybe they're just kind of being a little sloppy or like, you know, whatever the reason. But it's like, you can take just like any half season of The Walking Dead and done basically the same thing in this, and then it would have been fine. You know, just like simple plot, like, you know, arcs, just like, you know, break things off into the first half and the second half. You know, it's like they did this whole thing with like a, you know, Alicia's character being sick, and then like, oh, she got bit and she amputated her arm, but she's like, oh, no, I'm going to turn into a zombie because I'm dying because I got bit, even though we've never seen anybody ever get bit that lasted this long. So it's like, no, then you're not, you're sick for some other reason.
Right.
Not because you're going to turn into a zombie and it's a zombie virus. You know, it's like, and they just ran with that. And it's like, and it just got really old and silly. And then, you know, we get new characters and they only kill them off basically that same episode, you know, with Ali and then Paul and mm-hmm. like, you know, and then they slowly are killing off our guys. And then it's just like, okay, you're just doing some house cleaning. And then Alicia's coming back. Well, Morgan is still around. So, you know, he's going to keep going. But I don't know. So I just, that was it basically for my oh hell no. It was just the season in general. And the other little point, I actually wrote this in like not too long before we like recorded, because I just remember it's like when I saw Kid Ghost Alicia when she pulled off her mask finally, it's like, did she not remind you of like a young Charlie? I thought, like, yeah. To me, I was like, that kind of looks like Charlie. Like,
either that or it was kind of like the post apocalypse Wednesday Addams.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was just, I don't know, it kind of just popped in my head. I'm just like, It doesn't quite look like Alicia. I kind of thought it looked more like Charlie.
Yeah.
It was Charlie. It's probably Charlie's sister. Real life sister. All right. Well, that's all I had.
Charlie's sister, Bobette.
Yeah. all right. That's all I had. Got anything?
I kind of have to go with what you were saying and just sort of put my own spin on it. It's like, did the writer's room finally just like have a stroke? Or it's like this whole season's plot reminds me of a game of Cards Against Humanity. It's like they took the plot points and the characters and a story on a card, and they shuffled them all up, and you know, or you could say it's like Clue, you know, Morgan in the bunker with a radio, Alicia in the tower with a bird, you know, Strand in the portico with a painting. It's just like none of this made sense. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Maybe if you sit down and you try to be very meta about it, it would make sense. But the execution of it, what actually came up, like I said, it was like it was random draw of character, situation, you know, location. And I'm just going, guys, you know, you're killing me here. And like you said, that they were going, oh, well, they're bringing back Kim Dickens. And I said, I'm not going to share your enthusiasm with this because it's not going to turn out like you think. And it hasn't. It just seems to me that we had a good number of fairly well fleshed out characters, but we didn't use them because it's still back to something that Brian was talking about once upon a time when he kept talking about COVID things. It's like you had two characters, maybe three characters together, and they would do something and it would be the end of the episode. And you'd have another two or three that would do something and it would be the end of the episode. And you might see somebody in the background, but they really didn't contribute anything. And really the most FaceTime a lot of the people got were in the last two episodes. And like you said, you know, the rabbi and even, you know, Sarah, and you did get some, you know, various and sundry Lucianas, but mm-hmm. still for the most part, it was not like you got the whole ensemble. You got these bits and pieces doing something random and they stitched it all together and it sort of fit, but it really wasn't congruous, and they had to shave some edges of the puzzle pieces off to get them to kind of line up. And I just don't, if they came back out of this next season and actually did kind of what the main show did, that the main show was like, okay, this is the last season, so we need to pick things up. And we actually got some pretty dang good storytelling.
No, totally.
But I don't know if there's any recovering this one.
I'm afraid not.
Yeah, and it's just the fact of, besides doing the, you know, random character, random plot draws, it's also, it seems like, they had a bunch of guys in the room going, okay, what do we need to do this episode? What would be really cool to do? And it seems like that it's just a lot of it is, wouldn't it be really cool if we did this? You know, I'm surprised. It's like, you know, why don't we have a roller coaster? Why don't we do, you know, why don't we do a car chase? Why don't we do, you know, this?
Yeah.
You know, well, technically they did have a horse chase, but that's not quite the same. But
the thing is, like, none of this added to anything. It didn't add onto the bigger CRM story. It didn't add anything into basically the rest of the Walking Dead universe. Like, they're still just like in Texas in their little bubble, basically. And yeah, there's nothing that I guess that's where they're going maybe next season, because we still don't have anything about Padre yet. But, you know, it's like they spent all this time with Padre to like, okay, so we got basically Morgan saying, oh, I overheard some radio communication. I think Padre is real. It's like, well, then why didn't you guys like figure this out like weeks, you know, like episodes ago? But instead, no, we had to go into this war between Alicia and Strand, which actually wasn't even a war. You know, it just
turned out to be the biggest nothing of them all.
Yeah. And just
after all this stuff, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that all these poor mooks that were following Alicia around either got killed or wandered off, because I was going, okay, so you're all pissed off and you want to start this war. And now it's back to you save him and put him on a boat and tell him you love him and watch him sail away.
Right. He was throwing people off the roofs like two episodes ago.
He was throwing people. He threw your boyfriend off the roof, for God's sake.
Right. He killed like a who knows number of people. And
he killed a boatload of people. And I don't know.
Is forgiven because he was just, he loves Alicia. Because Alicia is the end, you know, was the final word that everybody was most waiting for. And she's like,
even though I wouldn't let you in and I said I was going to kill you, I love you. I did this all for you.
Yeah. Anyways, like, I think we have some listener comments in the feedback that will kind of, we can go into more of this. I don't want to just keep talking about when we're going to have it.
Okay.
But, all right. All right, well, then let's take us into our sad and awe sauce. Aww. And surprisingly, we only just got the one from Erin from the internet. She said, Victor and Alicia having a moment over Madison in the tower. And then sad, Alicia yelling at Strand to go and him crying because he doesn't want to leave her. Sad face. Yep. I do have to say, though, and I agree with Erin, I think Glennis might say later on, but like the Victor and Alicia, like there were some good moments and they acted them very well. Like, you know, there was that moment when Alicia was like wanting, like about to like kill herself and shoot herself.
Right.
That was very intense. And like they're great actors. They have great moments. And it's just sad that like it just got so squandered. But we got to at least see some moments where it's like, okay, you know, they really did great with the character with what they were given. And I just wish there was more. So I should probably put that in my sad. All right. Well, I guess that was all of our listener sad sauce. So we'll go into ours. And really, I just said during all the flashbacks, not a single one of Travis. Which I think it's like he died off in end of season two or in season two. So, you know, and really kind of like what would the world be like if Travis was still around? But during all the flashbacks, like, nope, no Travis. Everybody else, Nick, like, you know, like Madison, I think there might have been an Ophelia. There was Luciana. And, you know, it's just like...
But Travis. No Travis.
All right. That's all I had.
Well, my sad sauce is the fact that I'm the sad sauce, because I felt sad that after all this was her last hoorah, and she said her tearful goodbye to Strand and flopped over in the sand, and I'm thinking, is this it? Is this all we're going to get from this character that we've had for so many seasons and seen her grow and progress from, you know, a confused young woman to a badass zombie killing machine, you know, to, you know, crazed and hallucinating and semi-suicidal. And I'm like, it just breaks my heart.
Yep.
So the sad sauce is for the viewers.
Oh, gosh.
We deserve better.
Yes, we do deserve better. Like a billion times better. And unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get it. I could be wrong, but I think I say that as our little safety mechanism to being like, well, maybe next season they'll finally get something going. But we've been going over this season after season.
I know. And, you know, hope springs eternal, and we're still going to be here, and we're still going to be doing this. So we can only hope, you know, will something drastic happen in the off season, and everybody will get their collective crap together, and yeah, we can only hope.
Yep. All right. Well, that takes us into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
And Dieta from Detroit says, throw the whole season away with the show. I am so done with it all. So Alicia is leaving the show to pursue other interests. That's good, but why the long drawn out season with the fake war? Alicia was feverish through the whole episode, seeing some little girl risking it all to save her, only to find out it was her as a little girl, reminding her of who she was before the apocalypse. I call bullshit on this. So we're supposed to believe that fevers and a mysterious little girl lead her back to save Strand? And in between consciousness, she did all this without getting bitten or attacked by the radioactive walkers all around her calling for help. I don't know how many times. She's got a chin scratch, an eye roll, and a laugh. I call that all hell no sauce. Then when she shows up on the shore with Strand, nobody asks any questions. They all jump into the rafts that magically appeared on shore to sail off in the sunset with their long-range walkie-talkies with extended battery life. I roll, I roll, I roll. Morgan gives his farewell speech to Alicia, then his walkie stops communicating. Alicia is a raft, but she jumps out. When Strand jumps in, they have this whole scene of him crying, rolling away from her. Then once he's gone, she falls out for the 100th time, only to wake up without a fever, determined to save others who are coming to the burnt down tower. Mad face, mad face. This whole episode was a waste. They tried to do this whole meaningful goodbye episode that just fell flat and didn't deliver. And just like some unhappy, grumpy face emojis. I really don't have anything good to say about it at this point. Just so disappointed with what they could have done with the whole show. Just end it already. The second part of my feedback, I was excited and looking forward to a reunion of the Clark family, Madison and Alicia together again, but of course that dream is now over. Grumpy face, grumpy face. Guess Madison and Morgan and Baby Mo are going to take over now, with Strand and the others eventually meeting up with the others. Shrug, shrug. Don't know if I'm going to stick around for it, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Dieta, I feel your pain.
Yes, we do. Because just remember, we watch it so we can talk about it, and we're right there with you.
Yep. We would still like you to try to stick to it, but I mean, I understand if it's like, it's, you know, if you just can't watch it or whatever, but we would welcome any feedback, even if it's, you know, catching up or after, you know, a couple or episodes. So,
and you can still listen to us.
Yeah. But it's like, we do still have part 3 of The Walking Dead, so, and the Tales of The Walking Dead. So there's other stuff that we can be talking about that hopefully will be more enjoyable than this. So,
and we still, and remember, we also still have Negan and Maggie's big road trip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Isle of the Dead. All right. Well, thank you, Dieta. Okay. Next is Erin from the internet, and she says, Vision Kid Alicia was not surprising at all, and she hasn't been since she appeared, so the fact she was Vision Kid Alicia was not the twist for me. They think it was, honestly. I feel like Alicia screaming for the bird to go was Alicia screaming to be let out of her contract, and then finding out they aren't letting her out yet. Ha. I'm taking this as confirmation we're not getting Alicia Madison, and that's just sad. Sure, we're bound to get Strand Madison or maybe even some Daniel Madison hellos, but it's not the same with Alicia missing. Sad face. All right, thank you, Erin.
So, we have feedback from Glennis from Toronto. She starts off, so Alicia's rescued the first time from on top of the tower's platform. Really? And they leave Strand as he refuses to go with them. I don't think they'd be too concerned with leaving Strand in the tower to die, since he's been killing people off for all of season 7. Then she sees the child and the bird and wanders off after her with June and Luciana and company otherwise engaged. It was a little difficult to distinguish between reality and the hallucinations, At one stage, I began to think she was hallucinating everything and was still lying on top of that platform on the tower's roof. As her groove seemed to be very distant and not talking to her or stopping from ambling about when she had such a high fever. So we see the awesome SWAT truck for the last time to remind us of the good times in season 4 with Al, John, and Morgan and meeting up with Alicia, Nick, and Luciana. Second time hallucination city in that SWAT truck and then getting out and collapsing again and hallucinating that her better younger self killed those walkers when she was doing all the work as Dwight pointed out to her when she's rescued for the second time. Now the whole group makes the foolhardy decision to accompany Alicia to the tower to rescue Strand. Then they all go off to attend to whatever, leaving Alicia in her weakened state to go and rescue Strand. That's just crazy thought processes. These people are the pinnacle leaders in Fear the Walking Dead. Why do they make such stupid and senseless decisions? So Alicia frees the bird from the tower as a symbol, referencing her and Nick saving that Amino bird as children and what she's got new resolve and also set free together with yet another powwow with her smaller, wiser self that life is all peachy again. She radios for help a third time, again to the seemingly distracted group that has better things to do than look after Alicia in the first place. Then, no questions asked, the group cart both Alicia and Strand back to the beach exodus. Alicia has her last chats with Daniel, Charlie, and Morgan. Yep, really ironic that Charlie may now meet Madison and not Alicia. Strand tries to join Alicia in the boat, but Alicia decides to leave and go back to the tower, but not before she states her love for Strand and she's done everything for him. All is forgiven. Yep, the war just fizzled out proportional to the Fear of the Walking Dead writer's block. They're walking around aimlessly in the writer's room by the looks of this drivel. I don't believe Alicia's alive. Rather, she is walking this world now as a walker. She awoke from her last collapse on the beach all rejuvenated, no dark rings under her eyes, and fever gone, and shooting that walker with a bullet meant to end her life, and putting on the gas mask and heading towards the tower wasn't real. I'd even go so far to say the whole episode was a hallucination, and she died on top of the platform of the tower's roof. I know the showrunner states she's still alive and well, but they're just saying that to placate the viewers, so there's a glimmer of hope and the long-awaited Madison reunion might happen, so they'll keep watching. I'm really jaded now with all the Walking Dead universe and skeptical that reunion ever happening, when we're still waiting 4 years already for an appearance by Rick Grimes in any The Walking Dead universe series or movies.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Yeah, such, so well said, Glynnis. I love your feedback, and it's kind of hard whenever I'm like kind of going through my notes and like starting to write stuff, and then I see hers, and it's like she just took it right out of my mouth because
yeah,
literally, like they spent more time going back and forth saving Alicia, and then like not paying attention to her. That it's like, like come on, like what was that all about?
We always used to joke about who's watching Carl. Well, this mm-hmm. is like, you know, it's like you expect, it's like, you know, dang it, Daniel, you were supposed to watch her this time. He goes,
It wasn't me. It was Luciana. Luciana's, no.
It's like, what, me? So I thought Dwight was going to do it. It's like, me? No, I thought the new guy that just showed up was supposed to watch her.
Oh, yeah. Josiah, whatever. He's new. He gets the Alicia duty.
That's right.
I'm tired of always going after her beck and call. I just, you know, I guess we kind of already talked about it, but it was hard to really, the whole Strand, you know, he killed off all these people. Like, I never understood the whole, like, I'm doing this for you. And then Alicia's like, you took everything from me. And then it was like, but yet somehow they hate each other, but they don't hate each other. And then you're my enemy, but then, oh, now you're my family. So I love you and blah, blah, blah. Like that was the hardest part of all of this, I think.
Their relationship in this episode was worse than a soap opera romance. It's like, but I hate you, but I love you, but I love you, but I hate you.
I hate you. But like,
come on, you know, pick one.
Right. But that's the thing. It left out so much of previous seasons of like the relationship that they had from season 1 to season 3. You know, it's like, it's almost kind of like the writers, like didn't even go, like, haven't even seen the show since they came on, you know, because
it's like they know it happened because they've got notes that it happened, but they're kind of like, well, wouldn't it be good if we just did this?
Right. And that's unfortunate because it leads to not making any sense.
Well, yeah. And it's like the writers may not remember, but the fans do.
Right. And that's, I do have to say, though, that's one of the hardest, not the hardest, but like the one of the things that was challenging me as, you know, for like, we cover this show, you know, we watch the episodes, we sit down, we try to come up with our notes and think of all of our sauce eyes to like, then seeing how much this is playing to the rest of the fandom. And how that was reinforcing back to where I'm like, okay, that it's not just me having some issues and struggling. Not that I'm trying to shit talk the show, but it's like, you know, I'm struggling sometimes and then I'm seeing other people struggle. And it's, you know, to where I'm like, yes, they have like the train derailed. And so it's not just like I'm not understanding something, or like maybe it's going over my head, or like, you know, or something, or you know, there's a hidden meaning here. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be like true detective trying to like spend all my time trying to figure out their hidden meaning. And it's like, no, it's just, it's bad television.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it is.
And you've heard me say it before, Kyle. You know that I hate time jump episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that I can stand time jump episodes better than hallucination episodes. You know, at the end of the day, I don't feel like I've got any more clarity on this, even though I've watched it and then sat down and talked with you about it for almost an hour and a half. I don't feel any more clear about what happened now than I did when I started.
Nope, I agree.
In fact, I might even say that I'm even crankier about it now that I'm not the only one who felt that way.
Yep. That's, gosh. I just, at this point, I've said what I needed to say.
Yep.
I'm not going to put any other little, like, asterisks to, like, you know, I guess we'll see or wait till I'm just like,
Kyle, the only hope I have right now is we only have one more episode.
Yes. And if we get no feedback and it's just me and you, then we'll give our thoughts. And
I was going to say, please, guys, you know, devoted listeners, this is your chance. You know, next week, please make sure you send us some feedback. But if you don't, I'll understand. But please send us some feedback. But the other side, even if it's just to tell us that, you know, we're with you, you know, we get it.
Yep.
Because, yeah. You know, I'll go ahead and say it, that one of the things that's tough at this point is I'm going, I hope people are listening to the podcast more than they're watching the show.
The show. Yeah. I would say that we're much more entertaining.
And like I said, we've tried to be positive. We've tried to not just come into it and absolutely bash what happened, but it's hard. It really is.
All right. Well, let's go into our news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right. Fear the Walking Dead, because of the holiday, we do not have the ratings. So we will give those next week whenever they actually come in. So Talking Dead, obviously there's no Talking Dead this week, but it was announced next week we will get Talking Dead since it's the finale. I'm not going to go into the parrots because The Walking Dead is not even part of it. And Stranger Things obviously jumped to number one and beat SpongeBob SquarePants. Finally.
Oh my God.
so we can be happy about that.
And not only did Stranger Things beat SpongeBob, but it resoundingly beat SpongeBob.
Yeah, I think the week before Stranger Things was a 61.6 times average
and then there's
show, whatever
season premiere.
Yeah, and it went to 101.2 times compared to SpongeBob, which is 76, which is basically where it's at. It's always around in the 70s, it seems. I guess we do have to say that this week, Strange New Worlds, actually, I'm looking at it. It stayed about the same. It actually dropped down one at 32.6 compared to last week's 34.1. So it's still holding on there because Strange New Worlds is really, really good.
It's still in the top. It's still in the top 10 and still strongly in the top 10.
Yep. Yep. And I've imagined that's going to get overtaken by The Boys that opens this weekend or Friday or whatever. And then Stranger Things is only, they're doing part one or something like that. Because there's seven episodes available now, and then I guess in July they'll do the rest or whatever it is. But so I'm sure there'll be some fluctuation there. all right, well, but Talking Dead will return on June 5th, and it was originally scheduled to see Alicia Dunham Carey as the guest, but that has been changed as her schedule didn't allow it. So this week's guest will now be Kim Dickens, Danai Garcia, and executive producer Andrew Chambliss. I'm sure there will be some announcement, hopefully, of Tales and any of the spinoffs, or maybe more, you know, just any kind of Walking Dead. Maybe they'll let us know when The Walking Dead is going to return, so we can look forward to kind of at least getting some more information at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Alicia Dunham Carey did confirm the end of her extraordinary and life-changing journey. She posted on her Instagram and Twitter just thanking all the cast and crew and all the fans and this and that. But again, like Kim Dickens did whenever Madison, you know, she basically said, like, it's over, it's done, whatever. But who knows if we'll actually see her again or not. I feel like Alicia has done a splendid job, been a great character. It's been a wonderful ride, but I'm happy to see, like, you know, it's time to move. Like, she started she was 21 when the season one started, and now she's like, what, 27, 28. So, I mean, that's a big chunk of your life to dedicate to, like, this show. And it's kind of like, you know, it was great. And, you know, sometimes it's just, this is part of the gig, you know, this is actors have to do, you know, we've seen that with Andrew Leakin and, you know, everybody on The Walking Dead. They've been doing that for like 11, 12 years. It's like sometimes it's
and she's changes guaranteed. Change. She's guaranteed a gig at cons until the day she dies.
Exactly.
Whatever else she does from now on out, she can always go to cons and take pictures and sign autographs.
Yep. And that's really all the news I had. There was something there about just kind of like about next week's episode, but I'm just not going to go into it. We'll just wait until we actually, everybody can see it. So with that, LT, how can people interact with us?
So we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at Walking Dead TTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadTTM. You can send us email. That's walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. If you want to send us feedback, you can use our feedback form on our webpage. That's talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call area code 216-232-6146. Remember that all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell and additionally hit that like button. So if you hit the bell, you'll get notified when the new videos drop. And those videos go out to YouTube first before the podcast does.
And to support us, you can like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Renee Murray, Dieta Patterson, Guy over there, Lawrence Todd, and me.
Hello.
Kyle McAdams. Remember that Dieta and Renee will be getting an early version of this episode this week. You can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. And there you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And as always, remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. All right, well, what else can be listened to on Talk Through Media, LT?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We're still working on finishing up Star Trek Picard, which you can find at StarTrekPicard.com or on the Facebook group. We are in the midst of the Star Trek Strange New Worlds talk through that Brian and I and random guest hosts have been keeping up with the latest Star Trek show and having a good time at it. If you want to find out what's going on in Star Trek world, you can go to facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMPodcasts. And if you're a Star Trek fan and you didn't know, and you'd like to support the Star Trek podcast, you can do that at patreon.com/StarTrekTTM. Also on the network, Rebinge Deep Space Nine is going strong with James and Kim. When Star Trek Prodigy comes back out, you will be able to pick up the Star Trek Prodigy by Rebinge It with James and Kim. And of course, later this summer, I'm expecting that Star Trek Lower Decks will be coming out, and it'll be your usual trio of miscreants, Brian, Kyle, and myself covering that.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I can't wait.
And like I said, if you want to know what's going on in the network, the best place to find it is go to facebook.com/talkthroughmedia, where everything the network does is going to be highlighted.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 7, Episode 16 is titled Gone. It was written by Andrew Tramblis and Ian Goldberg, and directed by Sharat Raju. And I put in here just like, because his name keeps popping up, and I kind of was like, oh, like, you know what? What else has he been doing? Because he seems to always, you know, like, be directing episodes and, like, stuff like that. So I was kind of curious. The Fear of the Walking Dead, he directed the season 4 titled Blackjack. In season 5, he did The Little Prince. Season 6, he did Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg, which was the John Dory split from when June and Virginia, like, split from June and Virginia, where he, like, went one direction and June went the other direction. And then he also did this week's season 7, or this coming week, the last one of the finales, season 7 of Gone. He also did season 1 of World Beyond, The Tiger and the Lamb. And also he did Walking Dead season 10, episode What We Become. And season 11, he did Promises Broken and For Blood. So he's been doing a lot of cool Walking Dead stuff, because, like, some of those episodes have been pretty decent. So
he's an old hand at directing Walking Dead episodes.
Yep. The description from AMC Plus of this episode says, Morgan finds a new ally who turns out to be more trouble than he bargained for. So I guess Madison and Morgan don't have a great meeting. All right. Well, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talker. Good night, everyone.
Good night.